Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is Bill Johnson, senior leader of Bethel Church in Redding, California. I've had the privilege of sitting under Bill's ministry, and I have to say, I don't know of anyone else I've seen that had so many manifestations of miracles. And so I wanted to find out how this happened. Well, I can't even call him normal because he's a fifth-generation pastor, and it runs in his genes, in his DNA, but not what he experienced. One night, the electricity of God. Bill Johnson, did it hurt, this electricity of God? I know if lightning hit you, that would hurt.
It wasn't painful, but also was not pleasant. It was very, very uncomfortable. It was gratifying in the sense that I lived so aware of God being in the room, but physically, you know, it was not a pleasant experience of what I felt physically.
So this happened three nights in a row from about 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. The third night, if I understand you right, that same presence of God went on your wife.
Yeah.
And now, did she deal with it better than you?
I don't know the process she went through on the inside. I think it was more of just an unusual encounter with the Lord. I don't know that he had to hunt for the same thing in her heart that he had to find in mine.
And repeat for those that didn't listen yesterday, what did he basically say to you?
The Lord was looking for me to give up my right for dignity. That he wanted the right to be able to use me in any way he wanted, even if I looked foolish, even if I didn't come across as being dignified or respectful. And giving up the right for that is sometimes important in the ministry of the gospel.
Well, you did finally say you counted the cost, as it says in the Bible, and you said yes to the Lord. Tell me the first time you lost your dignity.
Well, it was a season of time where the visitation of the Lord came and just came in ways that we didn't expect. We didn't know what to do. And it was the Lord dealing with me, but because I had said yes in the secret place, he trusted me to lead some of those meetings in a public place. And so the Holy Spirit would come in great power. We didn't always know what was happening. We would examine the fruit afterwards. We'd find out a marriage was healed or somebody's body was healed or some person came to Christ or something. But it didn't always look logical at the time. And so it was something that happened to me publicly, but it also happened to most everybody else in the room. So it was a process, and it was a season. It was a season of many years where I was required, because of that yes that I made to the Lord, I was required to live with a certain amount of risk to see what the Lord wanted to do in a given setting.
Did you ever get used to that risk? Because that doesn't sound like the type of person you were.
No. I've never. I still have to live with the risk. I have to push into it in a sense for the miracles and the healings that we see happen. It's certainly easier today than it was, you know, 15, 16 years ago, 17 years ago. But I still have to intentionally push into it, realizing that I don't know what's about to happen. I'm pushing into the unknown, only knowing that God is good and that he will do something significant. And so I don't get paranoid, but I really want to make sure that I hear correctly, because I know that oftentimes breakthrough is connected to our deliberate and accurate obedience.
Okay. You've been at this, how many years has it been since this power encounter?
Since that encounter would be 1995, so it's 18 years.
Okay. What Tell me some secrets that you have learned in that period of time that you wish you had known at day one. Although, if you had known it, you might not have said yes.
The secrets have to do in two areas. One is the nature of God, and the other is how he uses us. So the first one would be the thing that I wished I would have known, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago when I first started. I wished I would have known how good God was. Just discovering the absolute perfect goodness of God has been the greatest delight of my life. That goodness doesn't translate into tolerating sin. People misunderstand that, and that's not accurate, but he is so incredibly kind, so merciful. I wish I would have known that, because all of the healing, all of the prophetic, all of the things that we experience really flow out of that goodness, his heart of great, great love and compassion, affection for people. I wished I would have known that better at the beginning.
Most people judge God by their earthly father, and that's almost...
It's true.
That's a wrong thing to do, because how can you judge a human against pure love?
Yeah. No, that you're right. You're right. And that's messed a lot of people up, because they've not had good homes. I had a great home, and I still struggled with it, so... I can only imagine what people, deal with that were raised in an abusive or, less than kind household. So it's just one thing that I wished I would have known earlier than I did. The second is I had this notion that you had to be a special person for God to use you. I grew up, my family had sat under Wigglesworth's ministry, and my uncle was a soloist for Amy Simple McPherson. So we have a lot of
I'm Jewish, and the Bible says the Gentile believers to provoke the Jew to jealousy, but you're sure doing it now. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, I grew up hearing those stories, so that put an appetite in me, which is really good. But I caught a message that nobody was telling me, but somehow I caught it. That was that you had to be a special person. Wigglesworth was unusually gifted in faith. Catherine Kuhlman had an unusual sense of God's presence, and I just never qualified. And so I would dismiss this urge to see the authentic gospel displayed with purity and power, but it kept coming back, kept coming back, kept coming back. Till 1987, I went to a John Wimber conference, and I saw them model, demonstrate, and teach how everyone can do this. And it changed my life, and I'm forever indebted to...
But Bill, wait a second now. You told me about that... a power encounter where electricity came over your body three nights in a row for 3 hours. So you were a special person. How can you say that person listening to me can do what you can do?
Well, first of all, okay, it started in 1987. It started before 95, and it started when I was pastoring a small, tiny little church up in the mountains. I didn't have any kind of experience or reputation or anything. I just went to a conference where I saw John Wimber and his team, the Vineyard Movement. I saw them model how every person can do this, and they did it in a way that fit my life. It was hard for me to ever imagine me being in a large crusade preaching to tens of thousands of people, but I knew I could talk one-on-one and pray for someone, and they modeled that for me, and it set me up, and that's when the miracle started. It was 1987. The explosion came in 95, but that wasn't something I knew would ever happen. But I cried out for more, knowing I had tasted enough to be ruined forever. I really wanted a greater and a more significant breakthrough. So that was my heart's cry, and that's how and when the Lord really, really visited me was then.
I hear this often, for lack of better words, such a desperation for more of God. And I've heard this from many people that have had wonderful ministries. But if I'm understanding you right, whether someone has that supernatural desperation or not, when they understand it, they can go for God desperately and end up with the same things that you and the people out at your school get.
Yeah, I believe that. I do. God is moved by hunger. And people that are hungry, let me say this. I've seen people that get really hungry, but they end up in unbelief because their hunger is a striving. It's not anchored in the goodness of God. It's not anchored in promises. It's anchored in an ideal that they never reach. I've seen others that become very hungry, but they know that God is good, and they're seeking for this wonderful Father to touch them more deeply and profoundly. What hurts people is when they try to have somebody else's experience. I think it's legitimate for us to pursue outcome but not experience.
You know what I would love everyone listening to us to do? And that is have you come to their house, invite a few of their friends, and teach them the most important thing that every Christian has to learn, how to host the presence of God. Here, let me read to you what Heidi Baker said when she got a hold of this book. Bill Johnson's book, Hosting the Presence, is one of the most powerful books that I've ever read. I was undone by chapter one and found myself weeping and crying out for more of the manifest presence of God to rest on my life. I was wrecked with a greater hunger to be fully possessed by the glory of God and filled with fresh longing for my life to be distinguished by His presence. Well, not only are we giving you the book, Hosting the Presence, but it's an entire course. You get the workbook, 187 pages. You can do it yourself, or you can have a group do it with you. And then the two DVDs, it's 8 sessions, all called Hosting the Presence, the most important thing that Bill Johnson has been taught by God, and he wants you to do everything he can do, but better. Now, if you were to go out and purchase this kit, it would cost $99, but we're making it available for a gift of $59. Call or write today. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.